What's going on? It's your boy Mixmaster B here live from the MNB Radio Studios for the MNB Radio Podcast, where no topic is too big or too small. We talk about them all. And on the phone lines today, on this episode of the podcast, I have a woman who you can check out WrestleMania week in Philadelphia at WrestleCon as part of Warriors of Wrestling. She's the current Warriors of Wrestling Women's Champion. So I want to welcome her in right now, Miss Angel Metro. How are you?
Hey, I'm doing fine. Thanks for having me.
Yes. And there's so much I want to get into with you today and talk about on the episode, but it is WrestleMania season and you are going to have a presence in Philadelphia, and we're going to get all the deets on that. But I want to start from the beginning. So you are a professional wrestler. And the first question I always ask people is, why wrestling?
Why did I choose wrestling?
Yeah, why wrestling? I mean, you could have done anything in the world, but why wrestling?
Well, I've done quite a few things in the world, but I was a musician for many, many years. I ran a goth club, I DJed, I played music, wrote my own music, toured, did all that. And when I was on tour, I was in Chicago, and I met someone that would become my partner. He was a professional wrestler. He specialized in deathmatch wrestling, and he wrestled for about 16 years. He had gotten an injury that was pretty severe, and he pulled through on it, and we were getting him kind of back in the ring, training. You know, it was a long journey, so needed to shake the rust off a little bit, and so we were getting him back up to speed and ready to go to hit the ring again. And he had an underlying medical condition that neither one of us knew about, and he passed away suddenly. And so it just kind of felt like an injustice, you know what I mean? He had finally gotten back into the swing of things. He was healthier than he had ever been. Like, he had had the second chance, and you know, it was such a long journey, and everything was ready to go, and he had so many things that he wanted to do, and you know, he was just taken. That was it. And so, I don't know. It devastated me. I mean, it completely, my world just kind of collapsed in on itself, and I didn't know what to do. And I was far, far into grief. And it just came to me. It was just one of those things, you know, you have a few moments in life where you just know you got to do something. Like, your gut is just telling you have to do this. And so I decided to kind of carry the torch a little bit and knock a few things off his to-do list. And also, I love wrestling. Like, I love wrestling. So I was like, I wonder if I can do this. Like, I wonder what it would be like, you know, when you love someone so much and they have such a passion for something and you see it as a fan and a bystander, you know, part of me always wondered, like, I wonder what this is actually like to do. And so, yeah, I decided that that's what I was going to do, and jumped in the ring and took my first bump, and I just fell in love and just was obsessed and couldn't stop. So I started training, and here I am.
And first off, we want to send our condolences to you. But that's just so awesome that, like, you were able to, like you said, take the torch and go on with it, kind of pick up that ball and, you know, run with it. And for people that, like, don't know you, and people have never seen you wrestle or whatever, and they look at you and they say, oh, you know, like, she'd be all glitz and glamour and all that stuff. But you do have, like, a little bit of an edge look to you. So what is that like? Because, I mean, some girls are interested in doing wrestling. I mean, I feel like the women's wrestling movement has gone through different peaks and valleys of it, where you've had people that were not necessarily athletic, who really didn't watch wrestling, who weren't fans of wrestling, but they had, like, a look. So you obviously have a look, but you're not afraid to get in there, like you said, the death matches, and kind of take a bump and take a hit. So put people into that psyche of that mindset of getting, like, smacked in the face.
It takes a very particular – there's a few different type of people that are able to be wrestlers, not just aesthetically, but actually, you know, get in there and put in work. And my personality type happens to fall in line with that. You know, it just comes from being able to deal with and enjoy a lot of stimulation, a lot of high intensity, physical activity and also just having a higher pain tolerance in general, you know. Some people aren't that way and still wrestle, but for me, you know, in there wrestling bigger guys and taking crazier bumps and whatever, like that's just what I like. That's my preference. And so, yeah, it just works for me.
Yeah, because I mean, we've looked at footage and we've seen some of your matches, and like you tangle it in there with some guys that are like, should be like wrestling like the largest of guys in the world. I'm like, what is she doing? Like, this is insane. So, I mean, again, there's a lot of people that are watching this and going, like I said, well, when I first told friends and fans and listeners that I was going to have you on, they're like, oh, she's so pretty. And I'm like, yeah, well, watch when she kicks someone's ass. Like, that's pretty awesome right there. So, what do you want to, because I see that on your social medias, you kind of embrace these younger kids, young girls. That they're, what does it mean to you to be a role model? Like, do you even like put yourself into that role of like, wow, like there are people that are watching me and want to idolize me. How does that feel?
Yeah, I mean, I never set out to be idolized. In everything I've done, I just kind of do my own thing and try to enjoy it as much as I can. But, you know, for me growing up, like I watched wrestling as a kid, and the way that women's wrestling was portrayed back then was a lot different than it is now. And so you had a lot of capable women, but unfortunately they were kind of treated more as eye candy and valets and things like that, which valets and managers, those are all great and important roles, but you would have these talented wrestlers, you know, that's all they could do if they wanted TV time. And for me, I didn't watch a lot of women's wrestling coming up because of that, but I did watch China when I was coming up, and that had a big impact on me, seeing a woman that could be so strong and fearless and take on anyone. It didn't matter who it was, and have that confidence in herself and that ability. Worked hard to have that ability, you know, training with Killer Kowalski and, you know, just her physique anyways, being a bodybuilder, you know, it showed me that women didn't have to settle for the roles that they were being put in the media and in life. And so for me personally, like, you know, I'm not built like China, and I don't know if I ever will be. But that said, that doesn't mean that I have to stick to the station that my appearance may automatically put me in. Like when I first started training, you know, I was told, oh, you have a great look. Do you want to be a manager? You know, all of that. And eventually I just got fed up with it. And I was like, look, if I wanted to manage or valet, then I would. But I'm here because I want to be a wrestler. And like, I know I look like Sable, but inside, like, I'm China. Like, that's the kind of like heart and drive that I have. And so for all of these young girls and, you know, teens and kids and all of that, like, I just want to show them that it doesn't matter what your appearances may, you know, whatever impression people may get off of that, you can still do amazing and surprising things regardless. Like, a lot of my first matches early on, while I was still in training, even were in the South, and a lot of those little girls would come up to me and just be like, wow, like I've never even seen a woman wrestle a man. Like I didn't even know that was possible. And so being able to open those doors for them and, you know, really show them, like not just, you know, doing flips and head scissors and things like that, but just really showing me in there brawling, and, you know, they can hear the chops and they can hear the punches and they can see it. Like that leaves a strong impression. And I'm glad that I can do that for them. And I try very hard to represent well in that regard, not only for women, but because, you know, these young impressionable people, life isn't easy and life isn't always fair. And so showing them that kind of strength, I think is very important. It's such a crucial age for people, you know, childhood. Like everyone has critical moments in their childhood that they can think back on that really help shape them. And I'm just really appreciative that I have some small little portion that I can contribute to that in their lives.
That is so awesome to hear you say that, because as I mentioned, when I said to people that you were going to be coming on and people checking out who you were and everything, the first initial reaction was, again, oh, she's so pretty. You know, she shouldn't be doing this. Why is she fighting like this and everything? And I see how people are slowly turning the page, turning away from that. I don't want to say stigma of that, but that's kind of like where a lot of fans have been kind of programmed into their minds that, yeah, only girls can be valets and, you know, they don't fight guys and they can only do this. And a lot of people that I've interviewed have said, yeah, China's a huge influence for me. And it's crazy how many people have been influenced by her. And now they're taking taking what she did and just carrying it to the next level. So I think it's totally awesome that, again, you're breaking down walls and breaking down barriers and kind of changing the narrative of what it is to be a female wrestler.
Thank you. Yeah, and, you know, the thing that, I mean, China, my generation and every generation afterwards, like, she had such a huge impact. I mean, she was revolutionary. She broke down so many barriers and was the first woman in so many different areas when it comes to wrestling. And I've been able to do that too on a lot of, you know, promotions, being the first woman to wrestle and on podcasts, being their first female guest and all of that. And the great thing about China is she embodied strength and had that aspect of her, but she also very much embodied femininity too. Mm-hmm. And, you know, was on the cover of Playboy and all that. And so she showed that you don't have to be one or the other. You know, you can encompass all different aspects of what it is to be a person and to be a woman and to do all that and still be strong and be beautiful and be attractive and sexy and, you know, all of that as well. Like, you don't have to just be like a straight, I mean, if you are a straight up G.I. Jane, like, that's sorry, I didn't mean to cuss, but that's
no, awesome. Go for it. Like, that's the genuality of this podcast.
You know, that's great. But if you're not, and, you know, you are like me, who will go out there and brawl and, you know, get hit in the face with a stop sign and break your nose in the ring and be smiling and laughing about it. And then, you know, the next week, you know, have photos of you, like, with your nose healing with, like, glitter on and, like, you know, all of that stuff. Like, it's okay. Like, you can be both things. Like, you don't have to be one or the other. You can be whatever you want.
Yeah, and that's the one thing I always loved about China. She was able to do things that she was doing things that, like, people wanted her to do. Like, people were like, oh, we want you to be sexy. We want you to be kick-ass. But she was doing it on her own terms when she wanted to do it. And I think that's what always was, like, cool about her. She's like, nah, if I'm going to do Playboy, I'm going to do Playboy when I want to fucking do Playboy. I'm not going to do it because you're telling me to do it. I'm going to do it because I want to do it and I can do it. Like, that's what I just loved about her.
Exactly. And, you know, not even just the, like, physical, like, appeal too, but, like, you know, in her personal life and also in the storylines on, like, WWE and stuff, she would be sensitive too. She would be a woman, like, in her, you know, Mamacita storyline with Eddie Guerrero. You know, she would show, you know, different situations and dynamics that real women went through. And in her personal life too, she would talk about these things. She would talk about depression and she would talk about things that went wrong in her life. And, you know, she wasn't afraid of her emotions. She didn't just, you know, bury everything. And I think that's really important too, is not just the physical attraction, but also the emotional side of being a woman. You know, she wasn't afraid to express that.
Now, aside from China, you said you grew up watching wrestling. What is one of your first moments of memory of pro wrestling? Like, people ask me that question all the time. Like, what's the first thing I remember that's just kind of cemented into your mind as this is pro wrestling?
Actually, it's how I got into wrestling. So early on, I was very much into, as a kid, into horror movies, sci-fi, all that stuff. So I would, like, stay up late at night and watch, like, X-Files and Star Trek and, like, Buffy the Vampire Slayer, like, all those shows that were on later at night. And so I was flipping through the channels one night and I saw something, like, that I'd never seen before. And it was this crazy setup, and it was these two dudes brawling, and they both looked like horror movie characters. And then one of the guys takes the guy, chucks him off of this giant cell that they were on, and then the dude has, like, teeth shoved up his nose, and it ended up being the 1998 Hell in a Cell, which, of course, is iconic now. Everyone knows, like, that match. But at the time, right, I'm watching it, like, this had never been done before. Like, this was a complete shock to everyone. And so seeing that, seeing these two, and I could, I mean, obviously, they look like monsters, but I could tell these are two real-life people actually doing this. There's no wires, there's no CG, there's none of that. This is happening, you know, basically in real time. So seeing that, it just completely, like, blew my mind as a kid. And I mean, I instantly, like, fell in love with wrestling from that. You know, typically, like, when you think of wrestling, you think of more of like a superhero, like a Superman type vibe, and, like, you know, blue or red trunks, and, like, you know, all of that kind of more of maybe even like a Kurt Angle, you know, early mm-hmm. on type vibe. And for me, being such a big horror fan and, you know, all of that, seeing these, like, monsters, these two spooky guys go at it, and all this gore and, like, all the stuff that came with it, and these, like, death-defying heights and stunts and stuff, I was just like, whoa, this is wrestling? This can be wrestling? Like, sign me up. Like, I'm there.
I love that. I love that. Because a quick story that I always tell people, my first experience, I'm a little older than you, so I grew up, like, in the golden age of wrestling. So in my era, you know, it was the Hulk Hogan's and, you know, the Ultimate Warrior and stuff of that nature. And I had saw the great Bill Apter one day, and we were just mm-hmm. talking, and he proposed that question to me. He's like, what's your first exposure or memory of pro wrestling? And I guess he was thinking along those lines. You know, he knew my age. You figure he was probably going to say, oh, Hulkamania or, you know, something of that nature. And I was like, mm-hmm. I was going to a wrestling event. It was in the Philadelphia Spectrum. And mm-hmm. I remember having tickets with my uncle and my dad and my mom and my aunt. They also had tickets. The Eagles were playing across the street. They went to the Eagles game. The guys decided to go to wrestling. And it was my first mm-hmm. ever time going to wrestling. And I don't remember who was, like, the main event. The only thing that kind of just stuck in my mind was seeing Demolition for the first time. And I'm mm-hmm. like, I don't know who these guys are. They look like some bondage things. Because this is when they were wearing, like, the zippered masks and everything. But it had such a, like, appeal to me. Because I was like, wow. Because it was like, again, you want to see something that you've never seen before. Like, you're looking at Mankind and The Undertaker. You know, these are monsters. And this is so cool because they're real people. And I'm seeing these guys, I'm like, these guys are fucking scary as shit. Like, they got studded, you know, ring gear and everything. And then they got this little Mr. Fuji guy, and he just looks creepy as shit, you know? And then I kind of just threw him totally off kilter on that. He was just like, oh, okay. I guess, again, he was thinking, oh, I was going to be a Hulkamaniac. But yeah, that's a little bit about my story, but this is not about me. This is about you. So,
yeah, that's cool.
Getting into training, like I said, your partner was a wrestler. So tell everybody, what was one of the biggest hurdles when you first got into it? And did at any time that you ever think or have a doubt in your mind, like, maybe I'm not cut out for this? Because I hear a lot of horror stories where people are like, they work you really hard and they try to kind of scare you out of wanting to do it. So what are some of the struggles that you had to deal with?
I think my biggest struggle was just dealing with grief mm-hmm. during that time. I mean, it was just, no matter what I had done, like, I was just neck deep in grief. You know, one of my best friends also passed away like 6 weeks afterwards, and she had been like getting me, like, just trying to keep me above water from my partner passing, and then she passed away unexpectedly. And I had more than one, you know, more than a handful of times when I would just get overwhelmed, overstimulated, and I would just have to go outside away from everyone, you know, behind a building somewhere and just break down a little bit and deal with it. But it was also like cathartic for me as well. I was pushing myself beyond limits I never thought I'd be able to, you know, physically and mentally. And so it was really rewarding in that way. For me, honestly, I didn't really ever feel any kind of doubt in myself, I think, until I started working the indies, because it's a whole different level of pressure and working all over with all kinds of different people, and you know, you just get exposed. I feel like when I was in training, I had kind of a cushion and a bubble, and I also didn't tell anyone that I was doing it. So all of the people I knew from wrestling, you know, from my partner's like world, and like only like very like less than five, less than I could count on my hand, you know, people knew what I was doing. And I did that intentionally because I didn't want that kind of input and influence skewing what I was trying to do. You know, I didn't want people trying to shoot me down and trying to make me doubt myself before I even had a chance to try. So I was fortunate that I didn't have to deal with that until I announced publicly that I had done it, that, you know, I was going to start working and like all of that. And, you know, then that comes in too. But honestly, for me, like when that happens, it's just getting caught up in external stuff, and I just have to bring it back home. Like, remember why I'm doing it, what it means to me, like how much fun I have doing it, and then I kind of reset myself. So, yeah.
I always tell people, now, obviously I'm not a pro wrestler, but I always tell people that, you know, it's kind of like it's a mix between a carny and a rock star lifestyle. Like, just going from show to show, and like, what is some of the fun and maybe not so fun experiences that you've had to do traveling from show to show? Because I've had guests where I had to sleep in my car, like I didn't have anything to eat, like people think these are made up stories, but these are like, this is the true tales. This is like, hi, my name is Angel and I'm a pro wrestler. Like, what is some of the stories that you can share with listeners?
Well, you know, my experience, I was already a bit seasoned for being on the road and dealing with chaos because I was a musician before a wrestler. And, you know, they do share a lot of parallels, especially when it comes to those different dynamics. But yeah, sleeping in your car, definitely done that. I've, you know, driven to Ohio for a show, came back, driven again the same week, back to Ohio in the same week. I mean, you don't sleep, you try to eat well. You know, the injuries are plentiful, and honestly, like, people don't really think about it, but, you know, sometimes you'll have promoters or whoever, you know, they'll kind of complain about wrestlers kind of leaving early for a show after their match or whatever. But what a lot of people fail to realize is that when you're at a show and you're injured, you know, unless it's a serious, you know, serious injury, like a broken neck or arm or something, like, or you're hemorrhaging, you know, we have so much adrenaline that courses through us during a match that it makes us pretty much as invincible as you can get in that kind of a situation. But once that, and that doesn't last forever. So when you have a 5, 6, 7 hour, even a 4 hour drive, and you're hurt, that adrenaline wears off.
It sure does.
And then you're stuck in a car for another several hours, not moving. So your entire body, like, you just got beat to hell. Maybe you have an injury, whatever, you know, you pulled a trap or a leg muscle or whatever. And then you're stuck frozen for several hours in this cramped little seated position, not really being able to move. And that right there, that drive home, is so much worse
I bet.
Than the injuries in the ring, because you can't move your body. And the pretty much the worst thing you can do when you're sore and you're beat up is not move at all.
Yeah.
It hurts so much more. And so, you know, you really, I've definitely, you know, I'm pretty tough, but I've definitely suffered quite a bit in the car rides home or to the next show. Because of that, you know, people don't really think about that, but it's definitely a real thing. So, you know, if a wrestler leaves the show early, like, maybe don't give them so much of a hard time the next time, because you have no idea how much pain they might be in or what injury. And a lot of the time, you know, a lot of us, we work and we have injuries, you know, they may not be super severe or whatever, but we might have small little tweaks, a pulled muscle or whatever. You know, when you work as much as a lot of the indie workers do. You get hurt. You get hurt a lot. Like, you don't get bumped around like that without getting hurt. And so we might already be working with something that gets aggravated, you know, and we just got to go.
Yeah, that adrenaline high doesn't last forever. So.
Oh, God, I wish it did, at least till we got out of the car.
Yeah. And then, and like you said, you don't know where you're traveling to the next show. It could be, you know, you don't know how, like, a lot of promoters, and, you know, they don't know what the next, where your next show is and how long of a drive it is and what the weather conditions are. And people don't factor into it. So it's like, you know, there's not like a real, like, a healthcare system for indie wrestlers.
No.
You know what
no.
I mean? Like, I've heard
there's
the
not.
Stories of crazy glue and staples, you know, like, to heal things.
Right.
And it's like, yeah, not the most sanitized way and proper way of doing things, but
I've definitely super glued people clothes before.
Well, yeah. Yeah, so you know, it's like there's a lot that goes into it that a lot of people don't know. And, you know, obviously wrestling fans are listening to this and they're probably saying, oh yeah, like, I've known of that and I've seen that. But there are other listeners that are, you know, kind of new to it or just think that everything is what they see on television. And it's just like,
right.
It's not always, you know, glamorous lifestyle, you know, there's opportunities for that, but there's a struggle. And the cool thing about it is dealing with that struggle, that's where the respect is earned, you know, where you're actually building that mentality, that toughness, that character. So
yeah, absolutely. And even if you don't have a next show to go to, you know, a lot of workers truly on the indies do it for the love of wrestling, because even if you don't have a next show to go to, you get home at 3, 4. These guys are getting ready because they got to go to work.
Yeah, they got regular jobs.
They have kids that they have to wake up for, so they could be beat up, hurt, and you're like, oh, it's not too bad. They didn't break an arm or anything, but it's like, okay, but now they have to get up in 5 hours and be a parent all day.
Yeah, or explain to your boss why you have.
Yeah,
why you got like a big old black eye, a dotty on your face.
Yeah, so, I mean, it's a lot. Like, wrestling is definitely, I've done a lot of things in life, and, you know, wrestling is definitely the most taxing by far. You've really got to have a fortitude, and honestly, that fortitude just comes from the love of it. You got to love it to do it, because why else would we, like, go through it?
Yeah, to think about it, you really, and you stop and think about it, like, you put yourself through all the physical pain, but the mental and all that. Is like, if you don't love this, then, you know, and you see that, and there's no, and I tell people all the time, like, if it's not for you, it's okay to say this wasn't for me. I never knock anybody for taking a chance on something, you know, but I don't even really knock people, because I don't really, a part of me really doesn't even care, but the people that are doing it for all the wrong reasons, I'm like, that kind of annoys me, but I'm like, I'm not going to knock you for it, because it's like, whatever, you know. But yeah, it's like I said, there's a lot that goes into it. So props and kudos to you and respect to you for everything you do.
Well, thank you.
Yeah, but where's the farthest that you've had to travel to wrestle? And where are some of these places that you've wrestled at?
Farthest I've had to travel so far.
I guess people would need to know, like, where are you kind of based at? Like, are you in this, like, the Northeast area, or?
Yeah, I'm based out of Virginia.
Okay.
I've wrestled in 11 states so far. So, yeah, I've worked quite a bit. I mean, I would say probably the furthest on the road has been, like, probably, like, 9, 10-ish hours or so.
Okay.
For an event or show. I wrestle a lot in New York right now, Ohio. I go to, like, southern Indiana a fair bit, like on the Kentucky border. Wrestled in West Virginia, North Carolina. Again, 11 states. I won't be able to remember them all. But
Well, just think, once you hit 50, then you don't have to remember anymore after that.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Once you got all 50 done, then it's just territories at that point, you know?
Yeah.
So what goals do you have to be, like, as a pro wrestler? Like, some people tell me, like, oh, I really don't have goals. But then other people are like, I do. Like, I want to do this. I want to do that. I want to wrestle this person. What are some of the goals that you have?
I mean, I have a few personal goals for, like, why I got started. Like, I have a few things on my to-do list to knock out. But primarily, like, my goals are, like, I keep very personal in wrestling. Like, it's more about, like, instead of external things like, oh, I want to wrestle here and I want to wrestle this person and do all that, like I keep it more about like my own self growth and like, you know, where I want to see myself improve and grow and like, you know, what I want to get from because wrestling can be very taxing on a person, like mentally and emotionally, but it can also be very healing. And it just depends on how you come into it and what your mindset is. And yeah, I mean, it's for me, it's done a lot of wonderful things and helped me get through, you know, hands down, like the worst time in my life. So yeah, my goals are, it's mostly just, I mean, just keep having fun. You know,
yeah.
I was at a place when I started where like I hadn't, I'm a very much a smiley, joking, like kind of person. Like I keep, like I'll talk about anything, but I keep things generally like lighthearted and positive. And, you know, after what I had gone through, like I just lost, I say like I lost my smile. Like I just, like everything kind of just turned dark for a while. And it wasn't until I started wrestling and, you know, training that I really started feeling that joy again. So, you know, just really holding on to that and sharing that with people, you know, being able to share that as much as possible and have them, you know, seeing me grow too, because I'm a new wrestler. So like, even just like the fans that I've made so far, like them being able to watch my growth and see that, like it inspires people. And so I, more or less, it's just keeping it more to that, you know, just keeping that positivity and the reasons that I love wrestling and sharing that with as many people as I can.
And the cool thing is that fans are going to be able to get to see you during WrestleMania week in Philadelphia, and they'll be able to see you at WrestleCon. But before that, you'll be taking part in the, what's it, Smashmaster Wrestling. And give all the details on that for people that are interested in finding out about that and, you know, where they can come see you do that.
Yeah, Smashmaster Wrestling. That is a great question. Let me see. It's at the Ukrainian Club. I know I'm going to be wrestling.
It's 847 North Franklin Street for anybody. It's, you know, not familiar with the Philadelphia area. So it's in Philly. It's not far. It's pretty close.
Yeah. And then I think that's on the 4th.
Yep.
And I'll be wrestling Philly Mike, who I am looking forward to getting my hands on. Actually, like my first real wrestling match, I wrestled his partner. He's actually my tag partner now. We actually ended up on good terms. But I had her down for the 3, and he super kicked me in the face.
I hate when that happens.
And I've got a big, fat receipt for him, so I'm looking forward to that match. He's got he's been injured for a while, so he hasn't been in the ring, and he just got back. So I'm really looking forward to that match. But, yeah, Smashmaster is super fun promotion, like very much for the love of wrestling and doing crazy and silly things, and I just really dig the vibe. So, yeah, it should be a good one.
And you can definitely, like I said, that is Thursday the 4th, 9 p.m. at the Ukrainian Club, 847 North Franklin Street, right there in Philadelphia. 9 p.m. doors. It's only $15, so it's a great way to kind of support some indie wrestling. A lot of things are going on that weekend, and it's totally impossible to do everything. I've tried to do everything, and after 12 WrestleManias and God knows how many states and arenas, and you just can't. There's just not enough time in a day to be everywhere. I wish I could, but this is a different, it's an alternative. So if you're locked out of getting to somewhere else, or you know you're close by, you can check it out, and they got details, bysmash.eventbrite.com. check them out there and get all the details, and cheer on Miss Metro. And you'll be at WrestleCon on Sunday, so fans can come by. You'll have the title belt with you, right?
All
right, sweet. So you can get a picture with you and get a picture so all the kids out there, you can come by and, you know what I mean, get a picture with the belt and everything. But let everybody know where they can find you at on socials and everything, because we live in a weird, zonky world of, like, catfishing and AI and all this other weird shit. So where can people find the real you so they're not talking to someone else that they think is you?
Yeah, definitely. I try to keep my social media easily accessible and straightforward. So you can find me on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, YouTube, you know, whatever, all the socials. It's Angel, Angel, Metro, Metro, exactly how it sounds. You can find me on there, and you can also go to my website. It's angel-metro.com.
I love when it's all kind of just, uniformed like that. There's so many people to add like different letters and, symbols, and it's just like, ugh. Then they end up talking to the wrong people, and you don't want to talk to me on the other end, and I'm pretending to be Angel,
Yeah, no, I regularly will get sent like what's it called? Not catfish, but yeah, like the
Like the
phony
fake
account.
accounts and everything, yeah.
Yeah, where people steal my image and like put my name or like change my name slightly on there. And so, whenever I get sent those, I always blast it and be
I
like,
feel like that's
yo.
when you know you kind of made it, though. Like when somebody wants to be you that badly, I'm just like, I sit here every day and I'm like, someone pretend to be me, just once, But I know I could never do the things that you do, and it was, just totally awesome to talk to you and kind of get to know you a little bit and know your backstory. And is there anything else you want the fans to know? Like, how, I mean, how often do you get to interact with fans through socials?
Yeah, I try to stay pretty active on it. My inboxes t tend to get flooded on social media, so
I
it's a little
apologize
bit
for that.
here on there. I do try to, piece it out and stuff, but when, you'll have promoters and interviewers and fans and, everything, there's not really a way to differentiate, things in your inboxes. I wish I had one for each category so I could just go through, and then you have like message requests and stuff like that. So it does tend to get flooded, but I do try to keep up with people online. I also have like a Patreon page where you can go and buy like, bonus content and like interact, and I can actually, because the messages are separate, I can actually like talk to people and it won't get like buried with a bunch of other messages. So, yeah.
Well, I'm totally excited to meet you on Sunday before heading over to WrestleMania night 2, and I encourage everybody else to go out there. You can get details again, like I said, at WrestleCon.com. It's at the Sheraton of Philly. Just roll on up. Come up over there and say hi to Angel, show her some love, and we wish you the best of luck at from the woods to the hood over there in Smash Master Wrestling, and we can't wait to hear and see big things from you, and I'm gonna be keeping tabs on you because I want to see this growth. I want to see you do amazing things, and I appreciate you for your time.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me. This is the Great Equalizer, Angel Metro, and you're listening to Mixmaster B on MMB Radio.